website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you join us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on what I feel is a very important, imperative message that we need to communicate and talk about. Christian persecution on the rise. Maybe I should ask it as a question. Do you see Christian persecution on the rise? What's taking place in America, around the globe, in relationship to Christian persecution? I believe that for many years now we've heard the screams and the cries and the output from the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, where they're saying they just wanted to be have equality, they wanted to have recognition, they wanted to be treated equally under the law. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the demonic agenda has now morphed into what I believe is the nation's most progressive Christian persecution in the history of our nation. And we're seeing persecution on the rise around the globe. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about that today. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then Jesus declared in John 14:6, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So one of the things that I want us to cling on to today is to realize that we have the scripture, the word of God, that we can depend upon even in the times in which we're seeing today in America, where Christian persecution is on the increase as perhaps never before. We understand truth is rejected, the truth of God's word is refused and ridiculed, and we find that taking place on an increasing basis. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We see that to be absolutely true today, if I might say so. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He says, and I quote, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity." Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching today as Bible-based Christianity starts to embrace the world, as Bible-based Christianity, as it's historically been called, and a Christian nation, as the churches are bowing to receive the world, embrace the world, and to embrace the agendas that's being promulgated by the woke culture today. We're watching the demise of the religious liberties and the freedom of speech that we have had in our nation for 247 years. We have a problem today with the free speech, with the religious liberties. We have so many in the younger generation that believes that truth is simply something that can be morphed into each individual's version of truth. 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35 year old age group, say each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility. we might need to have a standard. There needs to be a basic, and we go back to that standard, and that standard is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I would challenge you each and every day to do that. Love the truth, seek it, live it, tell it, and be willing to defend the truth even to death. That's what took place in the first century church with Christians. They would defend the truth even though they're thrown to the lion's den. Daniel was willing to defend the truth even at the risk of being thrown into the lion's den. The three Hebrew boys were willing to risk being burned in the fiery furnace for standing for truth and not bowing and not bending when society was going the opposite direction. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. They have a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a subject that I believe should be a vital subject for every Christian, that we need to understand what is taking place in America and around the globe. My question to you as we start the study or the subject of persecution. What is persecution? What is it that causes the Christian to be persecuted? What is the cause of that? What is the course of action that the Christian should take? Where should we stand? Have you experienced persecution as a Christian? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you don't know that you have, and yet do not realize what is taking place with that persecution. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that it's on the fast track in America, perhaps as never before, with the persecution and the prosecution of Christians in society in which we're living in today. I am concerned when I see that. I'll use an illustration to set the stage. Back a number of years ago, I was invited to do the invocation for a graduation service for one of the major high schools here in our city. Had about 2,000 in the service that evening, and I was invited to do the invocation. And 2 days before I was supposed to appear for that invocation on that evening, I received a letter in the mail. It was from the school. They had a little trifold in there telling you how to pray a non-sectarian prayer. And in that little trifold folder, it was giving me instructions on what I could say, what I couldn't say. I could not say in Jesus' name. I could not refer to the Bible. I could not refer to God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So my thought is, how in the world are you going to do an invocation? How are you going to pray if you can't pray to God in Jesus' name? And so I looked at it, read it carefully, threw it in the trash can. My bride said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go. And she said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to pray like I normally would. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't say this in the brazen fashion. When I stood to pray, I prayed from the book of Genesis through the book of the Revelation as closely as possible, overviewing what God said, what God is doing, and what God wants us to do. And in my closing prayer, I ask in the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. You could hear a pin drop in that place. I understand that after the program, the principal of the school and the one that was responsible for inviting me got chewed out. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I knew that if I did the right thing, it'd probably be the last time I would be invited to an event like that. That's okay. But I'm still going to stand, and because of my stand and praying in Jesus' name, there was a sense of, he's wrong. Somehow today, it has devolved into what is called hate speech. Today, it is called hate speech. You pray in Jesus' name. You pray publicly. You have a cross, or you want to open the Bible and want to read the scripture. All of a sudden, it is hate speech. There's something wrong with you. Something wrong. Should Christians take the position today, we're simply going to be relegated to second-class citizens, or should we take a stand for what is right and for what God would have us to do? I'm looking at an article, ladies and gentlemen, says violence against churches is up 288%. 288%. And then the sub-headline, where are the headlines? This article reads, there's no question that the news media focus on violence in our society. That's news, right? But do the headlines report all kinds of violence? Sometimes that's a valid question. One area that might fit that would be the ongoing and increasing violence against churches. How often do you read or hear about that? The latest report issued by the Center for Religious Liberty at the Family Research Council addressed the growing assaults against churches. The study said the increase contributes to an environment of hostility toward Christianity, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if we didn't have any other information or any other evidence than that, that'd be enough. But to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a movement in America, a movement around the globe today, and it's increasing exponentially, and that is open hostility, open rebellion, open rejection, open hatred, animus toward Christians, the church, and the Word of God. I believe that it's time that we recognize that that is real and what is taking place. I'm looking at another headline, persecution against Christians on the rise worldwide. The World Watch list released on Wednesday by Open Doors International shows that persecution against Christians continued to rise, a subheadline in the massive article. Over 360 million experiencing persecution. The survey covering a period from October 2020 to the September 30th, 2021, shows that persecution continues to rise, especially in Asian and African countries. Further, the article says, over 360 million, that is one out of seven globally, endured persecution, prosecution, discrimination in their countries last year. Overall, 5,898 Christians were killed, up 23% versus 2020. 5,110 churches were attacked or closed, up 13%. 6,175 Christians were arrested without trial, 44%. 3,829 Christians were kidnapped, up 123%. And the statistical data goes on and on for about five pages in that massive article. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're seeing persecution and prosecution of Christians on a local level, statewide level, national level, international and global level. We're watching that. So perhaps you asked the question, I hope you have, what is persecution? What is persecution? What is Christian persecution? One writer puts it so succinctly, persecution is the act of harassing, oppressing, or killing people because of their difference from society. Christians are persecuted because of their belief in Jesus Christ as Savior does not conform to the godlessness of a sinful world. And it goes on to give illustration of Old Testament and New Testament persecutions. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing good. Persecution. I've had people say things to me in regards to the Bible and my beliefs, but I've never had anybody get physical with me yet. I've witnessed plenty of it, and I'll give you a great example of it. I've seen newspaper articles written on you in your very church because of things that you put out on your bulletin board on the roadway there at St. Augustine Road.
Yes.
And what this does is when people read these things, they're being influenced by the media, which has no accountability, and it generates a, you know, oh, this is a mean old pastor. He doesn't like these kind of people, and he doesn't, you know, he's a bigot, and he's a homophobe, and he's a racist, and they spew this vitriol against Christians there, and then we all get that birds of a feather flock together, so you must be bad if you're a Christian because this pastor over here. And then what does not help Christianity is the division within the churches today. And I'm talking in particular, for example, the Pope and his recognition of homosexuality and Pride Month, along with various liberal churches and their outgoing ministries that openly misconstrue biblical verse to justify behaviors that are not stated in the Bible. So, yeah, we're going to get persecution. And besides, you know, the slave is going to be like the master and the disciple is going to be like Christ. He suffered, so we're expected to suffer just as he did.
Absolutely. Jim, one of the things as you're speaking that I'm thinking of, as we find Christians and churches and Christian organizations bowing to political correctness and the woke culture, that is, embracing things that are antithetical to the scripture, approving things that are absolutely immoral, unholy, and ungodly, as we see that taking place, then it causes the churches, the Christians, the believers that stand for truth and do not bow and do not bend, it causes we in that group, it causes it to be we the Christians that are standing to be viewed as, well, they're hate mongers. That's hate speech. In fact, we have developed, Jim, and I know you're familiar with it, what is called hate speech today. There's no such thing as hate speech. Hate speech does not exist in our Bill of Rights at all. It is the freedom of speech. Now, I might not like what someone says, but I can't say they're hate speech. But here's my point, and here's my question. If a Christian says something about, as you mentioned, our marquee on several occasions down through the past 35, 40 years, we've had some egregious responses. When we put on the marquee that all homosexuals are going to die and go to hell unless they repent. That's simply quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. But the point that I make is when we have so many denominations that's embracing that lifestyle, it makes it look as though those few that do not, that they're speaking hate speech. Is there any such thing as hate speech? How should a Christian respond? Many Christians today, Jim, I believe, are responding by simply silence. They're fearful of being shot at themselves. They're fearful of being put in the crosshairs of the enemy. They're fearful of being persecuted and prosecuted themselves. How do you read that?
Human nature, I read that. Fear is a powerful tool. If it wasn't a powerful tool, most of this garbage going on right now would not exist.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that, the old saying goes, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You have a small percentage out here screaming the loudest and getting the most attention when, as I've always thought, if every Christian would stand their ground and stand up and in a loving way, give them a gentle rebuke, none of this would be occurring. This is just beyond belief. That's why I believe that we are getting closer and closer to a the day of days, the day of the Lord, because this should not be happening in a society that has God, you know, as their foundation. I mean, it's on our money. It's in every state constitution. It's in our major constitution. It's in our Declaration of Independence. This is a Christian nation. This is not a nation that can rule itself without God. It'll fall apart according to its structure. So I do believe that there is some evil going on today, and a lot of people just need to wake up. Really need to wake up.
Jim, let me run something by you. I've not heard of it until within the past week. Evidently, it's been established through the Biden administration. Headline says, Biden's Church Protection Commission filled with LGBTQ and Islamic activists. This is dated June 8, 2023. Joe Biden administration has a special counsel to advise how to keep churches in America safe. On the surface, that sounds good, doesn't it? This article reads, I'll read the two paragraphs and ask a question. In fact, they've been under assault from government, which during COVID ordered them to shut their doors and refuse to let people attend, by the leftist agenda in Washington and under the Biden's demand for allegiance to the transgenderism and abortion ideologies, and radical and violent groups on the left have rampaged ever since the faulty Roe abortion precedents was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. But Biden's idea of protecting churches might surprise you, this article says. Quote, it's because his counsel includes a Muslim who held a fundraiser for cop killers, a leader of the pro-LGBTQ ideology, another who insisted the idea of America as a Christian nation is almost toxic, and another who said when Arab Muslims were targeting African Christians with genocide and thousands died, it actually was just because things escalated, end quote. The issue rose in importance recently when the Department of Homeland Security warned that churches and faith-based institutions were facing the prospect of violent attacks in the coming months, end quote. What is the, as you read it, what did you see behind the scenes if Biden is setting up a commission for the church protection, but is using everything and everybody to give advice that's antithetical to Christianity and the Word of God? What is he doing?
He's putting oranges on a thorn bush, literally, because you'll know him by his fruit. One of the first acts that he did was to undo the religious freedom order from the previous administration there. You know, and if you look at his administration of itself there, it is filled with political liberal appointees. You've got a director, Richard Levine, or excuse me, Rachel, whatever he wants to call himself, who, you know, is in there. You had people like Sam Benton, who was an assistant deputy for the Atomic Commission there for waste disposal. You know, you've got Pete Buttigieg, Secretary of Transportation. You've got Kamala Harris, who literally can't form a coherent sentence. You know, here's a great example. Well, really, AI is a funny thing, you know. It's two letters, and A is for artificial, and I... Really? That's how you start out your conversation on artificial intelligence? You know, I would have got up and walked away if she would have talked to me like that. I'd have been like, oh, you know what? Never mind. But it's an administration that is filled with bureaucratic individuals that were appointed solely on check marks. You know, LGBTQ, you're liberal, progressive, homosexual, they're not going to tolerate Christians because, especially Christians that speak the truth, they're not going to tolerate that. That is hate speech to them. even though you tell them in a loving way, you know, your actions you're responsible for. There are consequences for these. I'm not perfect, but guess what? Help me help you. I'm doing this because I don't want to see where you're going to end up because it is bad.
Yes. In fact, while you're saying that, Jim, I am ponder cause to recall John 15th chapter, the 18th and the 20th verse. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Then in verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. So Jesus warns us that that's going to happen. I'm looking at an article that was written a number of years ago by Adrian Rogers. Dr. Rogers is in heaven now. He says, Christians are promised persecution. He says, did you know that this world has room for almost every religion except that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Our persecution is going to center in the name of Jesus. The world does not mind religion, but it resents Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It is estimated that 360 million Christians live in countries where persecution is significant. Every year, tens of thousands are kidnapped, detained, or imprisoned. Every year, thousands of Christians are murdered. Thousands of churches are destroyed. And if you're paying attention at all, you know that Christian bashing is a favorite sport now in many forms, in government and in the media, end quote. I couldn't have said it better myself. But that's what we see taking place, Jim. And my emphasis today, I want the Christian to understand that we do have an answer. The scripture says, Jesus speaking, we're to be salt and light. Salt is a preservative. Light is an illuminating factor in a dark and dying society. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, after talking about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places, he says then in verse 13, having done all, stand. So my challenge to Christians, Jim, is that we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Do not sit in silence. Do not be sidelined. Do not sit back as though nothing has happened. I believe God called us to be salt and light, and in salt and light, we need to stand. Stand, facing the enemy, not running, standing, and being willing to be obedient to the Word of God. Jim, thank you so much for your call, for your input.
Thank you.
Keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Christian persecution on the rise today. Christian persecution. Here's a good example of that, ladies and gentlemen. Headline says, teen arrested after handing out Bibles. His response proves he's not backing down. It goes on to say, an arsonist, a cross-dresser, and a Christian walk into a bar. Which one gets arrested? Oh, you know which one. And it goes on to talk about Josh Alexander, 16 years old, a follower of Christ, just because he was handing out Bibles, was arrested. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Christian persecution. Christian persecution is anything or anybody or any law, any rule, any regulation, any guideline, any public official that wants to in some way encroach upon my religious liberties as given to us by God, codified in our Bill of Rights, that is not to be infringed upon. And yet we find many Christians today, too many Christians, that's willing to say, well, you know, they say I can't do that. You know, I'm going to pray at this meeting, but they say I can't pray in Jesus' name. They say that you can't come with a cross around your a neck and a chain because it might offend somebody, et cetera, et cetera. For the Christian to take that, inculcate that, and allow that to motivate and mandate how they do what they say is an act of aggressive Christian persecution in the very simplest forms. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what Christian persecution is and know what the Bible says as to what we need to do. We're going to talk about that further right after the top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Russia has halted a breakthrough wartime deal that allows grain to flow from Ukraine to countries in Africa, the Middle East, and Asia. That's where hunger is a growing threat. A Kremlin spokesman announced earlier today that Russia would suspend the initiative until its demands to get its own agricultural shipments to the world are met. An attack before dawn damaged part of a bridge linking Russia to Moscow-annexed Crimea that is a key supply route for Kremlin forces in the war with Ukraine. The strike today forced the span's temporary closure for the second time in less than a year. Two people were killed. The couple's daughter was injured in that blast. It was a weekend of treacherous weather in the northeast. Heavy rains pummeled the region, washing out roads and sweeping away cars. At least five people were killed in Pennsylvania. This is SRN News.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking about Christian persecution. I believe it's on the rise. I believe there's enough evidence to validate my statement. We can look around and see what's happening in America today and understand that Joe Biden, Department of State, the IRS, the DHS, the Department of Justice, the FBI, all of these are focused on the appeasement of immorality and an agenda of those that oppose God, that oppose the Word of God, that oppose the church, the Christian. That seems to be the agenda today in America. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not just in America. It's around the globe where Christians are being persecuted and prosecuted for their faith. I'm looking at a headline. Christian social worker in the UK denied his job for refusing to pledge allegiance to the LGBTQ flag. A Christian social worker in the UK is pursuing legal action after his healthcare employer rescinded its job after offer after the his biblical beliefs on sexuality and marriage were discovered. It says he landed his dream job at NHS after being recruited as a mental health support worker by Touchstone Supply Support Leads, a health care organization. The job offer was quickly withdrawn after leadership learned of his recent victory in a landmark case over his right to freedom of speech, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, remember, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. If the world persecuted me, it's going to persecute you. So what did the world do with the Lord Jesus Christ? They hated him. They persecuted him, prosecuted him, executed him, crucified him. And ladies and gentlemen, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the 9th verse, one of the key indicators of the last of the last days, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the agenda today to minusculize, to marginalize, to ostracize, to call hate in some fashion the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ for the Christian, because there is a God-bashing mentality in America and around the globe. Now, you study the book of Acts, about chapter 8, 9, and 10, and you find in particular the Apostle Paul was Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus had death warrants in his vest pocket, just outside the road to Damascus, Damascus gates, and the Shekinah glory of the Lord struck him blind, spoke to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul wasn't persecuting Christ, in his opinion, but he was persecuting the church. And to persecute the church, to persecute, prosecute the Christians, is to persecute and prosecute the Lord Jesus Christ and all that the Word of God stands for. It's the J. Secular with the ACLJ said this, Biden is using your tax dollars to empower all anti-Christian forces to severely deplete your religious liberties. It's a surreptitious war that could deny everyone everything that we fought for as Christians. Kicking kids, Christian kids, out of the federal buildings, confiscating Bibles from kids in school, threatening to arrest pastors for praying in front of the Chinese embassy, banning churches from using their own property, planting FBI spies in our churches, calling Christians criminals, and this is just the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good overview summary of the different categories in the areas that we find Christian persecution taking place today. In our schools, in our higher learning academic arenas, we're finding professors and teachers that are being fired if they simply express that God created two sexes, male and female. They're getting fired if they do not bow to the LGBTQ sodomite, ungodly, unholy agenda. That's Christian persecution at the very apex. That's Christian persecution in the very forefront that is very, very visible. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone is 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes direct through the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion. Do you believe that there's Christian persecution in America today? Do you believe that the LGBTQ sodomite agenda is part of that tool that Satan is using in the hands of the Biden administration? Do you believe that a parent that stands before the school board, generally speaking, it will be a moral, ethical, if not a Christian parent that will challenge the sodomite agenda that's being taught in the public schools? And then they're called domestic terrorists by the DOJ, Merrick Garland, in a 32-page document by DOJ, transmitted to the FBI, outlining that. And ladies and gentlemen, we have today where Christians are being persecuted and prosecuted simply for praying in front of an abortion clinic, persecuted and prosecuted for going before a school board and challenging the sodomite agenda, persecuted and prosecuted by calling it hate speech if you say that what they're doing is ungodly, unholy, and wrong, biblically speaking. It is a tool that is being used today as never before. Now, we can go back in church history and we can study and find that it's not brand new. It's not something that's new. It's something that's new for Americans because we've had our rights that's been given to us by God, codified in the Bill of Rights, that we have that religious liberty and the freedom of speech. But until now, under the Joe Biden administration, Biden has said 8 or 10 times publicly that there's nothing in the Bill of Rights that makes it absolute. There's the mindset that he does not have to, Biden does not have to follow the Bill of Rights, that Biden does not have to follow the rule of law, that he can make his own law. I'm looking at a headline, Supreme Court bashes the state's anti-Christian agenda again. U.S. Supreme Court slapped down the latest attack by leftists in the state of Colorado on Christianity. Now notice the headline, Supreme Court bashes the state's anti-Christian agenda. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see happening in case after case after case across America. We see that happening today with the persecution, the prosecution of Christian professionals like cake bakers, photographers, wedding planners, florists, website designers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is a mindset that we're not going to allow the Christian to be a Christian in the marketplace of ideas. This article further states, it ruled that the state, under the guise of non-discrimination law, cannot force a graphics designer to violate her Christian faith and promote same-sex marriages. The case involved Lori Smith and her 303 Creative Design Company, which does graphic designs and creates websites. She wants to do websites for traditional weddings, but the state had demanded that if she did not do business of that type, that is with the LGBTQ, she must promote same-sex weddings. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says, not happening, the High Court ruled. The First Amendment protection belongs to us all, not just to speakers whose motivations and motives the government finds worthy. In this case, Colorado seeks to force an individual to speak in a way that aligns with its views but defy her conscience about a matter of major significance, according to the ruling. Further, it states, consistent with the First Amendment, the nation's answer is tolerance and not coercion. The First Amendment envisions the United States as a rich and complex place where all persons are free to think and to speak as they wish, not as the government demands. No such thing as hate speech, ladies and gentlemen. No such thing as saying, well, you're a Christian baker, and so you've got to do something that's against your conscience, something that's against the Word of God. It is a decision, ladies and gentlemen, that is being challenged by state after state after state, and the Biden administration is at the very fulcrum of all that. That is the very focus that they have today, is to make sure that Christians bow to the secularized, sexualized, grooming approach for the LGBTQ agenda. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline again. No American should be forced to speak in violation of their deeply held beliefs. And it's a very similar wording, but it's about a different situation. The Supreme Court ruled that the state of Colorado, under the First Amendment, cannot force a web designer to promote same-sex weddings in violation of her Christian beliefs. Religion and work are not at odds, this writer says. The courts protected religious workers in secular workplaces, and today the court protected religious business owners. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought not have to go to court. Jack Phillips, the Sweet Cakes Bakery, I believe it was out of Washington State or Oregon. Don't have the article before me. But he's gone through 11 years of court cases. 11 years of cases before the courts to try to gain his religious liberty as guaranteed in our Bill of Rights. That ought not to be. Shouldn't be on that basis where we have to fight and spend. And fortunately, he's had a pro bono law firm organization that's fought for him. Otherwise, his cost would have prohibited him from being able to do anything to defend himself, and it would have already been wiped out completely. Looking at another article, yet again, the state taken to court for its apparent hatred of Christianity. And it goes on to talk about that hatred for Christianity being seen in the case I just spoke of, Jack Phillips. It's been formally determined by the U.S. Supreme Court to have exhibited hostility toward Christianity in the Jack Phillips case for several years. There, the state tried to force the Christian baker to express anti-Christian messages with his artistic work. Now, a lawsuit has been filed against the state because its officials, listen, the officials in the state are forcing a Christian preschool to surrender its religious character and beliefs to participate in the state's universal preschool program. And it goes on to talk about how the state is being used as a cudgel to force Christians to bow and to bend to that which is unholy, ungodly. And ladies and gentlemen, we must understand that according to Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 in particular, that government, civil government, was created by God. You find that in Genesis 9. Civil government's created by God. And civil government, according to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, is designed as God's servant. Government is the servant. That word servant comes from the Greek word doulos, means a slave, servant of God. And if government, civil government, does anything to institute laws, regulations, and rules that's antithetical to the Christian life, and the Word of God, it ought not to be obeyed by a citizen, a Christian citizen. Now, hear me. I'm not saying that we need to go out there and run stop signs. That's not the point. By the way, back less than 100 years ago, that stop sign in my driving of that era meant slide tires on pavement, STOP. If you don't, you're going to get a red light special. It used to be red lights. Now they're blue lights. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to obey the law. But if the law counters what God's word says, as Peter said in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God and not man. That doesn't mean that we're to have a tyrannical approach to life and living. That's not the point at all. Here's another article. Supreme Court rules for Christian Baker in the First Amendment case. The Supreme Court ruled in favor of Christian Baker, who said Oregon's law requiring them to make cakes to celebrate a same-sex wedding infringed on their constitutional rights. The decision came hours after the nation's highest court issued a landmark 6-3 ruling in the favor of Christian website designer in Colorado. Ladies and gentlemen, it appears as though Colorado, Oregon, and Washington State, California, are some of the major promulgators from a statewide level to hate anything that's called Christian, and to try to tear down and eviscerate, destroying anything that's called a Christian institution. We're finding that today more and more. State of Texas, ladies and gentlemen, is in the process of passing a law that will require the Ten Commandments to go in all of the public schools. And I've got an article that's not before me where different media in the state of Texas, they're screaming hair on fire. They're pulling their hair out. The end of the world is going to take place if that law passes, how it ought not to be. Ladies and gentlemen, don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the state of Florida, we just passed legislation that went into effect as laws, 200 for this year. Across the nation, we inculcate legislation, new laws, by about 250,000 new laws each 12 months. There's never a move to take any laws off the books, but a layer after layer after layer of new laws. We're in a land of laws, and yet we're finding the laws today being developed, drawn up, and being enforced by those that are in authority that have no respect, no regard for God and God's word. Jerry Nadler, about a year ago in the House of Representatives, said, and I quote, "The word of God has no place in the halls of Congress," end quote. And that's the mindset today. But yet, as Christians, we need to understand that Jesus Christ himself said that if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. If the world persecuted me, it's going to persecute you. So why should we expect not to be persecuted and prosecuted for standing for the truth of the word of God? Here's an article that says, court hears another case that wants to censor the Ten Commandments. A fight in court over a representation of the biblical Ten Commandments in Arkansas, completely unnecessary, according to officials of the First Liberty Institute. First Liberty is working with the Arkansas Office of Attorney General to fight the demands by the Satanic Temple, Freedom From Religion Foundation, American Humanist Association, and the Arkansas Society of Free Thinkers, and others. Ladies and gentlemen, just because the state in Alabama talking about putting in Arkansas, that is putting in the Ten Commandments. All of a sudden, you would think the world is coming to an end because they want to just display the Ten Commandments. Well, ladies and gentlemen, are you concerned about religious liberties being taken and the persecution, the prosecution of Christians? Where will it end? Ladies and gentlemen, it's on the fast track to eradicate anything that's moral, anything that's ethical, anything that's biblical, anything that's called Christian, anything that would be considered the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's on the fast track. We're watching the closure of churches across the nation at an exponential rate today. We're witnessing churches that, in order to keep from closing because of the apostasy, the falling away that's taking place, that's embracing the world, leaving the gospel and going out for the gold, leaving the Word of God and embracing the Word or the world that's around us. And ladies and gentlemen, the more we see of that, the more we're going to see the Christian being persecuted today. The transgender mutilation of our children is a demonic move against Christians. It is a demonic move that's against our faith and our family and our freedom. This is only part of the bigger picture, though, ladies and gentlemen. The push for biological males in women's sports, in girls' locker rooms, and the forced push for the nation and the world to disbelieve in God and God's Word, that God created only two sexes, male and female. The prosecution, persecution of Christian professionals, bakers, photographers, wedding planners, and website designers, ladies and gentlemen, all an indication of where we stand in our nation today. Even in states where there is a push to put the Ten Commandments back in place, there's a push and a hue and cry against it. It's a slap in God's face. It's a challenge to the Word of God. It's a debate in relationship to what Christians believe. Here's another article. Biden proposes even more restrictions on prayer in school. A new plan from the Biden administration to upgrade and update guidance regarding prayer in public schools means a crackdown on the activity of prayer, suggests a new report issued in Decision Magazine. In fact, a lawyer for the ADF, which has fought multiple court cases regarding student speech in school, warns that the new Biden plan appears to be suggesting that schools have to purge all religious messages from any student's speech if the school in any way controls the student's free speech. Ladies and gentlemen, that's never happened before in America. We've never seen the decline that we're seeing today in morals and ethics and values. And some wonder why. It's simply because of the Christian persecution that's on the increase. Here's an article again, J. Seculo, ACLJ. Biden's FBI planted spies in churches to monitor radical traditional Christians and their ideology. The deep state is treating you, Christians, like criminals and terrorists, end quote. Now, you might say, well, that's a pretty wild statement. No, it's not. It's speaking the truth. This article says Biden's DOJ, IRS, FBI, the whole alphabet soup of corrupt federal agencies are surreptitiously threatening our religious liberties in America. And it goes on to give an entire group of what is taking place and how it is being carried out. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be concerned. But yet at the same time, listen, let me interject this parenthetical footnote for our understanding and edification. Perhaps you say, well, what are we supposed to do? Certainly we're not supposed to run and hide. Certainly we're not supposed to go under the bed and climb in the closet and turn the lights out. Certainly we're not supposed to run in fear. The scripture is very clear in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God's not given us a spirit of fear. So we ought to be fearful. We ought to understand, though, ladies and gentlemen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, wickedness in high places, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, 11, and 12. And we need to put on the whole armor of God. Study the sixth chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 10 in particular, and you find out what the whole armor of God is. Put on the whole armor of God. In other words, if we're in a war, and we are, we need to be clothed with war armament, and that war armament is the whole armament of God. And once we put that on, don't run, don't backpedal, don't sit, don't be in silence, but stand. The Apostle Paul says, having done all, stand. When you study that word, it means you dig in your heels. You don't bow, you don't bend, you don't run, you don't give in, you don't surrender your religious liberties, you don't surrender the truth of the Word of God, you don't bow to the woke culture that says that somehow, some way, it is hate speech if you talk about Jesus, or if you pray in Jesus' name, or if you say you're not going to bow to the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, today Christians risk arrest for openly praying on the sidewalk. And that ought not to be, but it is true today, perhaps as never before. Here's an article that says, fired for expressing Christian beliefs. A worker now collects a political candidate for mayor who was fired by her employer when she expressed her Christian beliefs is now collecting a confidential payout that includes lost earnings, injury, and discrimination. And it goes on to talk about this. It is a Christian concern that Maureen Martin is collecting the substantial payout in her case that is thought to be the first of its kind in which a political candidate was fired by her employer over her Christian faith. And it goes on to talk about it. She was accused of hate speech and she was fired. But ladies and gentlemen, she has retaliated by filing a suit and winning the claim. It is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to take a stand. The Apostle Paul, for example, when he was arrested, thrown in jail, they released him and basically said, now I want you to be silent. Don't say anything about this. He said, no, you arrested me publicly. You're going to apologize publicly. I'm a Roman citizen. You can't do that to me. And I think it's time Christians assert our legal remedies. It's time Christians stand on the Word of God and not just sit in silence. I believe it's time we recognize that Christians are being persecuted today. I'm looking at the headline. Top library official goes public with a scheme to pounce on Christians. Drag performers for years already have demanded their right to promote their ideology and lifestyle to children through the story hours at school and in public libraries. So Christians have claimed their equal rights to hold events of those locations. One prominent personality who has forwarded the movement is actor Kirk Cameron, who has gone on a Brave Book tour that has featured his own readings as well as those by the author. The reaction by the libraries has been to post displays of dozens of LGBTQ-themed books during his events. They've also posted pride flags promoting the LGBTQ ideology. Protesters have tried to disrupt the event. Drag queens have interrupted the readings, and there have been threats of violence against Kirk Cameron and his group. Are the tentacles of Satan now locked into every aspect of American life, this writer says? Ladies and gentlemen, at every turn, we're finding at the bend of the road something that is affecting our nation, in our faith, our families, and our freedoms. Here's a headline. Biology professor fired for teaching biology. He was fired from San Antonio, Texas. He was fired from a college there simply because he said God created two sexes, not multiple sexes. He was accused of being homophobic. He was accused of being transphobic. He was accused of hate speech. He was accused of being a Christian, ladies and gentlemen, because he took that stand. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand again, let me remind you, Jesus Christ himself said, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. If the world persecuted me, it's going to persecute you. So what should we do? We need to pray. We need to plan. We need to be well armored with the whole armor of God. And we need to stand. And if there's going to be a battle, we cannot win the battle unless we enter the war. And so we need to understand we're in a war, and the war is against our faith. And we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, what that battle is all about. It's a battle between God and Satan, a battle against the Word of God. Stand up. Keep on standing. Keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder,